spiritual community dedicated to empowering personal transformation and living the unlimited possibilities of spirit. One more time. We are a heart-centered spiritual community dedicated to empowering personal transformation and living the unlimited possibilities of spirit. That's the truth. So, something for you to remember at Christmas. Okay? According to the Alaska Department of Fish and Games, while both male and female reindeer grow antlers at summertime, male reindeers drop their antlers at the beginning of winter in late November. Female reindeers retain their antlers until they give birth in the spring. Female reindeers until spring. So according to every historical rendition depicting Santa's reindeers, every single one of them from Rudolph the Blitzer had antlers at Christmas Eve. Therefore, they were all female. Rudolph, right? We should have known only women would be able to drag a jolly big man in a red velvet suit around the world in one night and not get lost.
What has something to do with shopping, though?
Okay. Well, that's included in part of the trip, you know, that shopping thing. Christmas is certainly a wonderful time of year. Lights, songs, decorations, foods, the presents. But we all have a slightly different idea of what Christmas means. One thing for sure, the spirit of Christmas invokes wonderful stories, bringing our hearts to joy. It's the reason for the season, to bring our hearts to joy and to allow the joy of the Lord just to bubble up, because we know that we're the most powerful when we are in joy, right? That's when we're the most creative, the most powerful that we can be. So as I open my heart to the light of Christ, I am joy-filled. Can you affirm that with me one more time and like you mean it? As I open my heart to the light of Christ, I am joy-filled. Didn't sound like it. You got to do it again now. As I open my heart to the light of Christ, I am joy-filled. Yay! Right. Yay. Yay. So, joy is the arrival of what we've hoped for. It is love multiplied by sharing. It is peace guided by the knowledge of our oneness with the divine. It is the opening of the gifts on Christmas morning is joy in expression, both in giving and receiving. During this season, joy is experienced as we allow hope, love, and peace to be impressed upon our minds, right? And then expressed through our heart. The feeling of joy can be stimulated by the smell of cookies. I got some fresh cookies in there. Uh-oh. Right? And they taste so good. As we experience the sights and the sounds and the sense of Christmas. Just as children are filled with joy as they unwrap their presents, adults experience joy as they enjoy the joy of children. Right? That childlike joy and enthusiasm reminds me of a story told by Deb Catlin Towney, and it was titled, Christmas is Coming. She writes, I sat on the floor near my three-year-old Jeremy, handing him ornaments to put on the Christmas tree. And he giggled and in pure delight as he said, "Christmas is coming!" Although I had to explain Christmas to him, Jeremy believed Christmas was a person. And he giggled, "Christmas is coming! All these presents are for Christmas when she comes!" Right? And I watched him smiling as he placed ornaments onto the tree. On Christmas Eve, I watched Jeremy sliding a sock foot across the wood floor. He anxiously awaited Christmas, and he couldn't stand it any longer, and he began to jump up and down and jump up and down. When will she get here? When will she get here, Mama? I want to give her all the presents. I tried to explain, "You know, Jeremy, Christmas is a time of year, not a person. And it will be here before you know. When you wake up in the morning, it will be Christmas." And he laughed as if I was telling him a silly joke. He said, Mama, will Christmas have breakfast with us?" And he spread out his arms over the gifts and said, "All these presents are for Christmas. All of them." I tickled his belly, and he laughed and said, "Yes, they are all for Christmas." And he scampered about until the fatigue showed in him, and he laid down on the rug just in front of the tree. And he curled up, and then I curled up next to him. And when he finally fell asleep, I carried him into bed. And then I made a cup of hot chocolate, and I sat by the window looking out into the decorated street. And it was just so beautiful. But one thing disturbed me. Directly outside my apartment, in a spot where I normally left the garbage, was a crumpled up heap of old clothes. Then I realized that heap really was an older homeless woman. She was a familiar sight in the neighborhood, and she never asked for money, but she just looked so helpless. Who was she? What was her story? She should be with her family, not sleeping out on a cold street on Christmas Eve. I felt a sinking feeling. Here I was with this beautiful child sleeping in the room next door, and I often felt sorry for myself as a single mom, but I wasn't alone. And out living on the streets. How hopeless and sad could that be, let alone a woman who must have been in her 80s? So I went out the door, and I walked in the street, and I asked her if she would like to come inside. And at first she said, no. And she hardly acknowledged what I was saying. When I said I could use the company, she relented and agreed to come in and spend Christmas with Jeremy and me. I arranged for her to sleep in the living room on the fold-out couch. The next morning, I woke up with Jeremy screaming, "Christmas is here! Christmas is here! Christmas is here, Mommy!" So I put on my robe, and I hurried out into the living room. And when I found that excited little boy presenting every present under the Christmas tree to Christmas. And he shouted out, "We've been waiting for you, Christmas." And he giggled and scampered about opening the presents as he handed her. And I don't think Christmas had known so much joy in a very long time. And neither had I. It's amazing how little ones can sneak opportunities to experience joy. My daughter, Siobhan, used to wake up in the mornings singing when she was little. She was just so joy-filled. It just flowed from her in joyous songs. Hearing her sing would fill me up with joy. Unfortunately, she got older and older and older. And I had to find a way to get her to wake up in the mornings. You know, I'd say to her, Siobhan, you got to get up and go to school. You're going to be late. Didn't work too well. Somehow we had lost the joy of mornings. Maybe I could try singing a wake-up joy songs in the morning. How about you? You know, something like, joy, 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 joy is deep, stirring, totally transforming. Something's a stirring deep down within my soul. Joy, joy, joy in the heart. Y'all think you could sing a song like that in the morning? Right? Early one October, a new pastor had his wife arrived at their first ministry. They were to reopen a church in suburban Brooklyn. And were excited about the possibilities. However, when they saw their church, they realized that they had just a little bit of work to do. Rebuilding a very run-down old building. So they took a deep breath in and they set the goal of doing all the cosmetic work in time to have their first service on Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve is this Saturday, right? Put it in the calendar up here. Saturday night, Christmas Eve service. Well, they worked hard repairing the pews, plastering the walls, painting, and when they finished the work on December 18th, they were jubilant. They were ahead of schedule and just about finished. Well, the next morning, they woke up to a driving rainstorm that lasted for 2 days. As the pastor entered the church on the morning of that second day, his heart sank. Looking behind the pulpit, he saw that the roof had leaked and caused the plaster to fall. A full 20 feet by 8 feet was gone, just behind his head where he would be. So he thought that might be a little bit distracting. You think? Right? Not knowing what else to do, the pastor cleaned the mess up and wondered whether or not to postpone the Christmas Eve service. Dejected, the pastor headed home. On the way, he noticed a business having a rummage sale for charity. So he stopped and he browsed, and one of the items made his heart skip. It was this beautiful, handmade, ivory-colored, crocheted tablecloth with exquisite work that was done, right? Fine colors. And then there was a cross emblem right at the center. It was just the right size to cover up that hole in the sanctuary wall. So he bought it and headed back. As he reached the church, it started snowing. As he walked, an elderly woman came running by him trying to catch the bus, but it rolled away just as she got to the stop. So the pastor knew that the next bus wouldn't be around for about 45 minutes, so he invited her into the church to have a cup of hot cocoa. And she sat down in a pew and she sipped her cocoa as the pastor got a ladder out and hung the tablecloth over that, the tapestry over to adorn that spot right behind his head that hid the huge hole in the plaster. It looked so beautiful, so beautiful. As he admired his work, the woman cried out, "Pastor, Pastor, where did you get that tablecloth from?" As the pastor began, the woman cut him off and insisted that he check right there on the lower right-hand corner to see if there were any initials there. To his dismay, there were three letters, E, B, G, clearly crocheted into the cloth. They were her initials. She had made that tablecloth 35 years before in Austria. The woman explained that before the war, she and her husband were well-to-do people in Austria. When the Nazis came, she was forced to leave. Her husband was supposed to follow her the next week, but she was captured and sent to prison and never saw her husband again. The woman could hardly believe it as the pastor told her how she had just gotten that tablecloth and how he had just coincidentally bumped into her. How synchronistic life can be. The pastor wanted to give her the tablecloth back, but she refused and made him keep it in the church to adorn the church. So the pastor insisted on driving her home over to Staten Island. What a wonderful service they had on Christmas Eve. The music, the spirit were great. And at the end of the service, the pastor and his wife said goodbye to each person as they left, until there was only one man remaining, and he was sitting there staring at the wall behind the platform. The pastor wondered why he hadn't left, and then the man looked up and said, "Pastor, where did that tablecloth come from, the tablecloth on your wall? It looks identical to the one my wife made years ago when we lived in Austria. How could there be two tablecloths so alike?" He then shared the story of how he and his wife had been separated years ago in Austria. The man's story seemed so familiar to the one that he had heard just a few days earlier. Without another thought, the pastor asked the man if he would take a short trip with him. And they drove over to Staten Island, to that same house where the pastor had taken that woman. And he helped the man walk up three flights of stairs to the woman's apartment. And he knocked on the door, and the pastor then witnessed the greatest Christmas reunion he had ever seen. It's a true story. True story. Oh my gosh. As I have reread this story, I can't help but wonder if neither one of these elderly couple had ever seen that tablecloth for 35 years. Where did it come from? Right? Is there really a Santa Claus? Or was it magic? Christmas does indeed seem to be a very magical, synchronistic time of year. There are so many wonderful stories shared about this magnificent time. Powerful stories of how some unseen, powerful force leads people to experience the deepest desires of their heart. Although we as adults might not believe in the physical presence of Santa Claus, through the sharing of these stories, we demonstrate the belief that there is a much greater magical force at work within our world. Some of the stories have been made into movies, like my favorite Christmas story, A Miracle on 34th Street. Nobody in here has ever seen that one, right? Right. Another one is A Wonderful Life. Why is it that so many dream come true stories come into fulfillment during the holiday season? Is it magic? Or is there really a Santa Claus? In the outer world, the Advent season is all about celebrating the birth of baby Jesus. In a metaphorical way, our awakening, each and every one of our awakening to the Christ presence, the light of the Christ. And as we do, we open our hearts to this field of infinite possibilities, and we begin to focus on the goodness of life. Who's ever heard anything about the goodness of life, right? Where is that goodness of life? Everywhere, right? Everywhere. Hope stirs up things, and we've only dared to dream about. At different levels in our awareness, we begin to see beyond the appearances, and we feel Spirit's presence in people that we meet, in situations we come to find ourselves in. We begin to look for miracles to happen, and y'all know what happens when the mind focuses on miracles happening. They really do come true. The Christmas story is perhaps one of the greatest stories ever told. It just seems to come to life. It has a familiar ring deep within our soul, doesn't it? One reason is because the story takes place in us. Right? The story takes place in us. Metaphysically, we each have the Christ child. Mary, Jesus, Joseph, the shepherds, right? And the angels. We all have them within us. And we talk, and they talk to us, right? They talk to us. And they help to prepare the season for us. Mary and Joseph represent love and divine wisdom, residing in us and nurture the Christ of our being. When they call upon to take action, they make the journey traveling across the wilderness into the rocky places of life. And when love and wisdom arrive at the destination, they find the inn, the dwelling place of the mortal mind, and it's crowded with activity and stuff going on. So love and wisdom go out back into the night to find shelter and peace and the natural elements of life. While the shepherds keep watch over the natural elements and the angels, God's messengers, sing about the awakening of the Christ child, helping us to see and experience the deeper things of the spiritual dimension. Remember, experiencing the joy of the Christ child is the reason for the season. So picture that in your mind. Picture that in your mind's eye, the birth of Christ, the light of the Lord just shining down, and let your heart sing with joy as the Christ is born in you. Let there be a welling up of joy that the divine awareness, something great and wonderful, is rising up within us. The joy that is experienced through the birth of Christ is symbolized by that star that shines so brightly over Bethlehem. The star that had been prophesied is signaled the arrival of the one who would lead the children of Israel to fulfillment of God's promise of learning to awaken to love's presence in all that they do. The star was a signal to the wise men that they had been waiting for and was and is about to be realized as we journey to that place of fulfillment. We will be filled with peace and wonder and goodness and joy. The key to experiencing this profound joy is to prepare ourselves, to cultivate the other attributes of the season, right? Faith, love, peace. You never heard about those things before, right? We got to cultivate them. And when we do, the experience of joy is just a heartbeat away. When we touch the inner spiritual resources, we feel joy bubbling up within us. So, we have to remember that light, that Christ-like candle within us. As we still our mind, our heart, we light the candle of joy, knowing that God's presence surrounds and unfolds us in all that we do. As I open my heart to the light of Christ, I am joy-filled. Can you all affirm that with me one more time and act like you believe it? As I open my heart to the light of Christ, I am joy-filled. I am joy-filled. I'll invite our